Hi, and welcome back to Project I Am. I'm Dr. David Schloss, and I'm honored to be with you here in this sacred space of reflection, growth, and transformation. Today, we're diving deep into a powerful concept that's transforming therapy rooms and personal growth journeys around the world. It's all about embracing all the parts of who we are and bringing them courageously and compassionately to the table. I often tell my clients that healing isn't about cutting away pieces of yourself. It's about gathering them close, listening to them, and learning to lead those parts with love. And today I want to talk about how we can do exactly that.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome.
Please note that while I am a mental health professional and educator, this podcast and the information shared within it are intended solely for information, education, and entertainment purposes. The content discussed does not constitute therapy, counseling, or any form of professional mental health services. It should not be used as a substitute for therapy or personalized mental health treatment. If you are in need of support, please consult with a licensed therapist or appropriate healthcare professional. You've probably had moments when you said something like, "Part of me wants to take that risk, but a part of me is kind of terrified." Or, "There's a side of me that's excited about this opportunity, but then there's another side of me that feels like I don't deserve it." Well, these aren't just figures of speech. They're windows into a profound truth. We are made up of different parts, and each of these parts carry its own story, its own feelings, and its own role in our inner world. Now, this idea isn't new. Ancient cultures have long spoken about the inner council, or the many selves. But in recent years, psychology has caught up with what mystics and poets have always known. One of the most compelling models for understanding this is internal family systems therapy, or IFS. This was developed by Richard Schwartz in the 1980s, and IFS proposes that the mind is naturally multiple, and that's not a problem. In fact, it's an opportunity. Schwartz says in his book, he says, all of our parts are welcome. You see, IFS sees us as having various parts. In IFS in particular, these parts are named. And so for people that have been trained in IFS and operate according to a strict IFS modality, the parts are named the following. You have exiles, which are often our younger, wounded selves who carry pain, shame, or fear. Managers, these are parts that try to keep things under control. They avoid risk and protect us from pain. Then there are firefighters. These are the parts that jump in to extinguish emotional fires, sometimes in impulsive or destructive ways. And then there is the self. It is our core, our true essence. The self is calm, curious, and compassionate. And the goal of healing is for the self to lead, welcoming all of the parts to the table. Now you might be asking, why focus on parts? Why not just move forward and leave the past behind? Well, here's why. You see, research in neuroscience and trauma therapy shows that unintegrated parts of the self, especially those that are holding trauma or unmet needs, well, these parts don't just disappear over time. They show up in our lives in ways we don't always recognize. And sometimes they sabotage things. They sabotage our success, our progress, our relationships, our healing. Sometimes they keep us in cycles of anxiety, perfectionism, and even burnout. Functional MRI studies have shown that when people revisit traumatic memories in therapy, different brain regions activate depending on whether the person is recalling the experience from an observer perspective or reliving it as a wounded part. Now, integration allows the brain to calm these survival responses and create new neural pathways, which is essential for healing. The goal isn't to eliminate these parts, but to heal them through having a relationship with them. And when we bring them to the table, when we listen to them without judgment, and when we offer compassion, something miraculous happens. Parts of us that were frozen in fear or rage, those parts begin to soften. And protectors who once fought tooth and nail to keep us safe, those parts begin to relax, and our internal system starts to move towards balance. So how do we do this work? How do we invite these parts to the table? Let's really lean in here. You see, this isn't just about theory, it's practice. Let's talk about how we actually bring these parts to the table. I'm going to share 5 steps with you. Step 1, noticing the voices within. This process begins with awareness. You can't work with a part that you haven't noticed. So when you're experiencing a strong emotion or reaction, whether it's anger, shame, anxiety, or even avoidance, when these things show up, take a pause, take a deep breath. Instead of reacting or pushing the feeling away, get curious and ask yourself, what part of me is showing up right now? For example, I had a client a while back, we'll call him Jason. He was a successful executive, and he shared how he would freeze up in meetings when it was his time to speak his mind or to share something. After a few sessions together, we discovered that there was a younger part of him, around 8 years old, that was still terrified of speaking up because of his early childhood experiences where his ideas were dismissed and he was ridiculed by his dad. Every time Jason's adult self prepared to speak in a meeting, the 8-year-old part of him would get triggered, flooding him with anxiety. So instead of pushing that anxiety away, Jason learned to pause, to acknowledge the part that was afraid, and to speak reassuringly to it. He would say something like this, "I've got this. You're safe now. You can sit back and watch me handle this." So step 1 is to notice. Step 2 is to name the part without blame. Once you notice the part, try to name it. And I want to emphasize this part, name it without blame or judgment. The goal here isn't to call out your inner critic and scold it into silence, but it's to recognize the role that this part is playing. For example, many people have a perfectionist part. It's a voice that says, "You can't turn that in until it's flawless. You need to do better." Or a procrastinator part that distracts you with Netflix when you really need to be working on something important, or TikTok or Facebook or doom scrolling, right? Any kind of social media. And here's the key. These parts are almost always trying to protect you. The perfectionist is trying to keep you from failing and getting hurt. The procrastinator, well, it might be shielding you from the overwhelming fear of not being good enough. By naming these parts gently, something like this, "Ah, I see my perfectionist is here." Or, "I notice my procrastinator showing up." When we name these parts gently, you begin to disidentify from the part. You are not the part. You are the self observing the part. Or another way of looking at it is, this part is not the entirety of you. It is simply a part of you. So firstly, we notice. Secondly, we name. And thirdly, we listen and don't lecture. This is one of the hardest and most transformative shifts in parts work. We are so conditioned to silence or suppress uncomfortable feelings, right? But healing only comes when we listen. So I often guide clients through an inner dialogue, and you can try this too. Ask that part of you, "Why are you here right now? What are you afraid would happen if you don't do this job?" You might be surprised by the answers. I had another client, we can call her Maria, and she had a part that triggered binge eating whenever she felt lonely. Initially, she hated this part, and she saw it as the enemy sabotaging her health. But when she finally listened to that part, That part revealed that it had started binge eating when she was a teenager to comfort her during nights when her parents would fight loudly in the room next door. So food became her safety. It became her comfort, a distraction from chaos. And when she understood this, well, Maria had quite an emotional reaction. And now after she began to understand what was going on, her binge eating reduced. Not because she shamed that part of her into submission, but because she met its need for comfort in a healthier and more conscious way. Step one, notice. Step two, name it. Step three, listen to it. Step four, build trust over time. Now, this isn't a one and done conversation, right? These parts don't just integrate with the rest of us and start cooperating because of one conversation. These parts have been running the show for years, even decades. And they need to know that they can trust you to lead. And that trust is built through consistency, compassion, and patience. Richard Schwartz often compares it to building a relationship with someone who's been isolated for a long time. Someone like that is really wary at first. But if you keep showing up, keep treating it with compassion, well, that part will begin to relax and will begin to trust you that they no longer have to manage things alone, that in fact there are other parts there available to help them. Okay, so where are we? We've done step one, notice. Step two, name. Step three, listen. Step four, build trust over time. And lastly, step five, integration. Once a part feels heard, valued, and safe, it can take on a new role. Firefighters who used to numb your pain with substances or compulsive behavior, well, those parts now might become your creative energy or protectors of your boundaries. Perfectionists might become your editors or quality control, offering feedback without crippling fear. You see, it's not about eliminating the parts. It's about liberating them from these extreme roles and helping them begin to cooperate with your other parts. What's exciting about this work is that it's not limited to one school of thought. Parts work is emerging across multiple therapeutic modalities, and it's being validated by neuroscience and trauma research in really profound ways. Internal family systems has moved from being a niche therapeutic model to one of the fastest growing approaches in the world. In fact, in 2023, Psychotherapy Networker featured IFS as one of its most sought after certification for clinicians. Therapists across disciplines are incorporating parts language into everything from trauma healing to couples counseling. And the research is catching up. In 2021, a study in the Journal of Clinical Psychology found that IFS significantly reduced symptoms of depression, anxiety, and PTSD. Not only that, but Stephen Porges' polyvagal theory has reshaped our understanding of trauma and the nervous system. What's really powerful here is how it complements parts work. Different parts are often connected to different autonomic states. Your manager part may keep you in sympathetic arousal, in fight or flight, and your exiles may be linked to shutdown or disassociation, also known as dorsal vagal collapse. By bringing awareness to these nervous system states, you can also help regulate the parts that are stuck there. For example, in somatic experiencing, which is a body-focused trauma therapy, clients often discover parts of themselves holding physical tension and even pain. Through gentle movement, breath, and body awareness, they release those parts from their rigid defensive postures, and at the end of the day, your body is really grateful for this. Along with this, there's a growing trend toward integrating somatic work with parts work. Therapists like Pat Ogden, founder of Sensory Motor Psychotherapy, well, they teach us that parts don't just live in our thoughts, but they live in our bodies. That tightness you feel in your chest or in your shoulders, it may be a part of you that's bracing for rejection. That knot in your stomach or that IBS, well, that may be a terrified part of you that's feeling vulnerable. By tuning into the body, we can locate and engage with parts that we may not even be conscious of. In addition to all of that, there's EMDR and ego states. Eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, EMDR, while traditionally focused on trauma memories, has increasingly incorporated ego state work. Therapists are finding that accessing specific parts, or ego states, during processing can enhance the effectiveness of EMDR. There's a study by Knipe in 2018 that you can look at for that. For instance, when a client revisits a traumatic memory, an angry protector may try to block the session. Well, skilled EMDR therapists will pause and work with that part first, establishing trust before they continue. This approach respects the internal system and prevents re-traumatization. Beyond the therapy room, the language of parts is entering into the cultural mainstream in a significant way. Books like The Untethered Soul by Michael Singer and The Body Keeps the Score by Bessel van der Kolk have really popularized ideas about the inner self and trauma healing. You'll notice on platforms like Instagram and TikTok, there are coaches and therapists sharing practices for inner child healing, shadow work, and parts integration. While not always clinically rigorous, these trends do reflect a collective yearning for wholeness and a greater understanding of how we are made up of different parts. Even popular meditation apps like Insight Timer and Calm now offer guided practices for meeting and healing inner parts. Interestingly enough, parts work has also found its way into corporate leadership training. Coaches trained in IFS or similar models teach executives how to work with their inner critics, imposter parts, or burnout protectors. Daniel Goleman's work on emotional intelligence from 2013 encourages leaders to recognize their reactive parts and to lead with self-awareness and compassion. I once worked with a CEO, a really interesting and super successful guy, who had a fierce inner critic constantly driving him to do more and to do better and telling him that he was not enough. Once he recognized that one of these parts was a loyal manager part trying to protect him from shame or failure, well, he began to soften towards it, and this allowed him to lead from his compassionate self, from his calm, clear, confident self. And soon his entire leadership style began to change and his employees noticed practically immediately. There is also a growing intersection between parts work and spirituality. Many people find that parts work deepens their spiritual practices. Rather than rejecting anger, fear, or shame as negative, they learn to embrace these parts as sacred messengers. IFS founder Richard Schwartz often speaks of self-energy as akin to the soul or the higher self, which is compassionate, connected, and whole. In spiritual circles, parts work can support practices like mindfulness, compassionate meditation, and inner healing prayer. I want to share another story, and this time we'll name the guy Kevin. Kevin was a successful entrepreneur who felt deeply lonely and really burnt out. Despite his achievements, there was an internal war going on inside of him. One part pushed him relentlessly for success, while another part wanted to quit everything and just disappear. As we began to work together, Kevin discovered that his driver part was working overtime to prove that he wasn't a failure, which was an old story from his childhood. And the part of him that wanted to disappear? Well, that was like an exile part, carrying sadness and grief over never truly feeling seen. When Kevin brought all of these parts to the table, when he acknowledged them and listened to them with compassion, he allowed his self to lead, and everything shifted. He still runs his business, but now with more ease. He takes time to rest, knowing that he is valuable way beyond his performance. This is the promise of parts work. Integration leads to liberation. So as we close today, here's my invitation. What if you stopped fighting with yourself and started listening? What if you made room at your table for every part, no matter how messy, scared, or angry? What if instead of asking, how do I fix this, you asked, how do I welcome this? You are a system of wisdom. All of your parts are valuable. All of them have a role to play. Healing isn't about becoming something new. It's about becoming who you've always been. It's about getting all of your parts to the table so that they can integrate and cooperate. And I do believe with every part of me that when you bring all of yourself to the table, you step into the fullness of who you are. When every part of you is celebrated, not just tolerated, that's when healing begins. Well, thank you for joining me today on Project I Am, and I hope this conversation resonated with you. If it did and you want to explore more, you can visit my website at www.therapywithdavid.com, or you can listen to some of the other meditations and podcasts on Project I Am, which is available in the Apple iPod store and in a number of other places like Spotify and iHeartRadio. Until next time, remember, every part of you belongs. Every part of you has a voice. And you are the leader that they've been waiting for. Until next time, may you be well.
Today will be glorious. Put on your sunglasses, sunscreen, and sun smiles. You're gonna love it.